Hey, this is Jay and Joe, and you're listening to a vocabulary episode of Start Writing.
There you go. This is jealousy. Jealousy?
It's not jealousy, it's jealousy.
Jealousy.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, it looks kind of like jealousy, but if you really look at it, it's spelled word jealousy. And it even sounds like I'm trying to, it sounds like I'm saying jealousy wrong. That's what it sounds like. Jealousy. A blind with adjustable horizontal slats for admitting light and air while exuding direct sun and rain. A window made of adjustable glass that control ventilation. So it's a very specific word.
Oh, what the?
It is a very...
Okay, so, I mean, this is a French word for blinds, basically, right?
Yeah.
You can tilt these blinds. That's called a jalousie.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so here we have the rooms of the little bungalow were protected from the brutal tropical heat by wooden jalousies. I feel like I'm saying jealousy wrong. You can even hear that even as I'm reading it. I'm like, did I just read that word wrong? It really trips you up. You could do, yeah, I mean, I think that would be a good word for like
a period piece, I think.
A period piece, yeah, maybe.
Okay, next up is the word proximity. And this is the quality or state of being proximate or close.
The company's main advantages as an exporter include proximity to the U.S. market, quality of production, and its ability to alter production to suit the needs and designs of taste of the U.S. consumer. So proximity, I feel like, is a pretty common word. I'd feel comfortable with it in the general narrative. So, but it's more like when you're referring to geography specifically, right? One of the things I think talked about in the book Modern Love or Modern Marriage, I can't remember the title exactly, but it talks about, you know, for most of human history, what determined who you would marry was your proximity. It's your physical location in relation to them, but talking very geographical, not like in a room. So that's my thoughts on proximity.
Yeah, I don't have a lot on that word, but I think that I would use it. Like probably more than most of the words we've shared.
Okay.
I really like it.
So, roué, a noun. A man devoted to a life of sensual pleasure, a rake.
I love that it's that it describes it as a rake, because that's another word that we don't use that often, but it basically means the same thing.
Like, yeah.
Kind of a scoundrel.
A hedonist.
Yeah.
That's what we call them now, hedonists. So it's definitely a period word. Hugh Grant as a roué who seems to realize that his charm is regrettably cheap commodity enjoyed something of a comeback in Florence Foster Jenkins. And so I feel like even though, you know, talking about Hugh Grant, it's a modern use of the word. I feel like mostly, just like rake, it is... a period piece word. You're going to use that, you know, when you're writing 17th, 18th century stuff, as opposed to something current.
And I don't know if this will help you remember, but it says it comes from Old French meaning a wheel. And
a wheel?
Well, yeah, and it says it's referring to their punishment. Like, that's a guy that needs to be strapped to a wheel. Like, I'm not totally sure what that means.
But. Do you know why they call them rakes? Like, where does the word rake come from? Yeah. Look that up while I dig up our next word here. Okay. Okay, so shilly-shally, verb. Shilly-shally.
Well, this is
to
so
show,
good.
To show hesitation or lack of decisiveness or resolution. Dawdle. As for buying Concord grapes at either a farm stand or a supermarket, the rule of thumb is when you see them, claim them. Don't shilly-shally, because the season for this most coveted of grapes is fleeting.
So this comes from the phrase, well, they say, shill I, shall I? So it's a question, like, I'm trying to decide whether I should... And so I'm shilly-shallying.
Yeah.
Apparently.
That's funny. Yeah. But I would definitely use this word. Like, it communicates immediately its meaning. Like, if you have somebody trying to make a choice and is it a verb or a noun? I can't remember. I think it's a verb.
Verb, yeah.
You say, you're like, don't shilly-shally. Just pick one. right? I feel like you, even if people are unfamiliar with the word, you do not need to explain it. Okay, you got rake for us?
Yeah, I just want to say though, shilly-shally, that's great for a young reader. They're going to love that word. It's fun to say, and it's a great meaning. It's kind of, I mean, it could be insulting. You know, you could use it in a lot of cool ways.
Yeah, I think,
shilly-shally.
Middle grade to YA, I think they really enjoy that word. Doughty, marked by fearless resolution, valiant. Wow, that's not what I think of when I hear Doughty. Noticing that the cashier shorted him a nickel, the Doughty child marched up to the counter and demanded it from her. I feel because it sounds so much like doubt, D-O-U-B-T, that the word feels in contradiction to the way it sounds, and I wouldn't recommend using it this way.
So, oh, sorry.
Okay. So, Doughty. It means marked by fearless resolution, valiant. And I was saying, because it's so, the way it sounds is so similar to doubt, it just feels.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, I wouldn't use it because doubt is far more common than Doughty. And it feels like Doughty is derived from doubt, but it actually means a totally different thing. So, I would say avoid this one just because I think it could just lead to confusion in readers.
Okay, so back to rake. It's like a bonus word, or are we counting this?
Like a bonus word?
So there's the old word, which was rockin', which means to proceed, like to go forth. And then Raquel meant someone that proceeded too quickly, right? You're too headstrong, you're too rushed. And Raquel actually became a word, rake hell. Rake hell was a word, which was then shortened to rake. So that's where it comes from.
Interesting.
But yeah, so like someone who's a little too headstrong, too forward, too intrusive, maybe.
All right, and that is it for the end of the vocab.